Oh, good. Hello, we have some people joining us.
This is Bill.
Hey, hi, Bill.
And Jeff.
And Jeff? Is that?
Yep.
Is that
yep.
Jeff? Yep, okay. All right.
How's that grizzly bear doing, Jeff?
Doing great. They're loving the cooler weather.
I'd recommend you don't fall in that cage. So.
Thanks for the recommendation. Like, I'll do my best. Yeah. Yeah.
He does not like Jeff.
He doesn't. I don't take it personally either.
Hello, did someone just join us?
Hi, it's Pam Busey.
Hi, Pam. This is Marilyn. Elijah's here in the office with me. And we have Bill Howell, Jeff, Amy, Virginia Court, and Bonnie on the line.
And this is Bruce and Helena.
Hey, Bruce. Marilyn Ross, Elijah, we're here in the office, and then our commissioners are coming on one at a time. So, okay. Sounds like we have a couple more just joining us.
This is Philip
Snyder here. And okay. Paul Snyder.
Okay. Paul, by my watch, I have 12:05. So I will call the meeting to order. This is a special meeting. And we'll ask Bonnie, please, to do a roll call to establish a quorum.
Pam Busey? Here. Bill Howell?
Here.
Virginia Court?
Here.
Andy Poole? Philip Meckling?
Here.
Sarah Conan? Sarah Wright? Sarah Ross?
Yeah.
Here.
Bruce Wittenberg?
Here.
Jeffrey Ewitt?
Here.
Paul Schneider?
Here.
We have 8 members present, Chair.
Okay. So we do have a quorum. We can continue with the meeting. The next item, this is a public meeting. If there are members of the public on this phone call, time for you to ask anything that's not on the agenda and the session. So if there is a member of the public on the call, could you ask yourself, please? We will go. I'll ask Elijah, please. Virginia City and Nevada City. Elijah?
I'll be kind of brief on this one. just kind of a lot of the commissioners were kind of interested in some of the revenue that was generated from some of our projects that we did with vacation rental and the gas, obviously the gas station. The good news, so we'll start with the good news, the vacation rentals, we went from 15,000 something almost to 35,000 this year as far as vacation rental revenue, and that still is coming in. The gas station, the gross revenue has came in at close to 20,000, just over 20,000 for gross revenue. The one we did kind of mirror our traffic count, did kind of mirror the park as a station, which shouldn't be a surprise. Probably negative is it basically rained every day from June and all of July, which really affected our tourism numbers as far as visitor services with money to the concessionaires and to the our individual revenue. So we estimate the traffic was just under 20% down from previous years. And the revenue kind of mirrored that. So typically in our visitor service revenue, we generate close to 300,000 from the train operations, the River of Gold, the stay and play packages. So we typically do about 300,000 and we're, 20% down in that aspect. So I think overall we kind of are kind of stagnant with the revenue that we did make with the gas station and the vacation rentals. But definitely it was an off year on the tourism numbers and the actual revenue that we do generate on it. So the other kind of negative is we just really battled with our little train. We couldn't seem to figure out how to fix that. So it broke down for a couple of weeks at the start of the season, and then it kind of killed at the end. So we're actually still in process of trying to remedy the problem with the train situation. So overall, I would say we're about neutral on revenue with the increase in vacation rentals, but we did take a pretty big hit when it rained every day, and the numbers were definitely down. So that's kind of the update there. I'm still finalizing some of our numbers as far as profitability. I might have to take some looks at cutting back on some contracts that we have with construction people and maintenance. That at Reader's Alley as well. So I'll give you those numbers as far as the financials. I'll send that in a separate email. The good news is we did end the fiscal year positive by 58,000. Typically we tend to go negative for a week or two on that last couple months. We're trying to remedy that so that doesn't happen. But we did have a good June as far as becoming positive again for the fiscal year. So we are, I guess we're above approved budget for the eighth consecutive year. So that's something that I try to strive for and make sure we're living within our means. So that's kind of in a nutshell of the overview of the seasonal update. Is there any questions in that part of the world?
Elijah, this is Bill. Since we took over the bale of hay, were those revenues up compared to what our lease was in the past?
Well, that's something that we're going to have to discuss a little bit. We did have a new concessionaire that did take over that operation. And at this point, it didn't go so well. So we were supposed to collect $40,000. At this point, we've only collected 15,000, and so we're now kind of going back and forth on if we're going to continue that relationship, and then we also need to obviously make sure that we're collecting what is due and contracted. So So that one is a question mark at this point, if we're going to continue that relationship and if we're going to be able to recruit what was contracted.
Elijah, this is Paul.
Yes.
I don't understand or didn't catch about the train. Was it down in the revenue, or was the train down in operation?
The train was down in operation.
Okay.
It's a hydraulic train. It's fairly complicated. It's not like a basic auto machine shop can fix it. It does take some specialty mechanics to come out. And it's frustrating to me because we've probably replaced everything on the machine. Everything's almost brand new. But, you know, like the drive shaft was stripped inside of it, so we couldn't tell you know, what the problem was until we had to take everything apart. Again, it's still a question mark on what is wrong with it. It'll fire up, it'll start for, you know, it'll go for maybe 30 minutes and then it just dies on it. So we have some people currently working on it, but I think it's fair to say that it's stumped a lot of people at this point. So we're going to be looking at options to possibly replace that, have a backup, things of that nature.
I just came back from a conference, and I actually, oddly enough, talked to trains with them at this conference. And so I'll reach out to you and kind of get you their information and some of their options they have. They have some good leasing options and what have you. So I'll reach out to you with that information.
Sure. Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Any more questions for Elijah? If I can, I would just like to add to that the season update. The Nevada City Ladies Aid and Friends Association is now a fully functioning 501c3. They have their own group. They are busily raising money through their teas and their bakery sales and all that sort of thing. They're really excited about it. And at the December meeting, I will have some of those folks at the meeting to talk to you and be prepared. I'm sure they're going to hit you all up for that $10 membership. So just a heads up. Okay. Next item, Elijah, the discussion of tourism revenue, if you want to do that separate.
Well, a lot of this is just going to be here for any questions that you might have. Earlier, we had the executive committee. Those individuals that have been on site a little bit longer kind of help with the prioritizing projects of House Bill 652, which is $750,000. And the executive committee has come up with a prioritized list. I'm assuming that the board will probably either weigh in on that or basically approve that. So we can submit that over to the governor's office. There is a deadline of October 1st, and that's where the draft memo that you see to Mr. Tom Livers, and that's where hopefully you all got that on your email. And then we also have a PowerPoint that gives you a little bit of the visual of each building that we're trying to take on. So briefly, I'll go over the rank of what the executive committee wanted. I'll kind of leave it open for discussion if that works for you guys.
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
That's fine. Go ahead.
So the top one that was ranked by the executive committee was our housing situation, our housing projects. So the top projects in regards to housing, there's the Virginia City Players Cabins that there's going to be a new bathhouse created. We've earmarked roughly $90,000 for a new construction so they can all bathe and take care of. And then we're going to redo the roofing, the windows, and the doors on 7 cabins. So that will encompass roughly about $150,000. for that project. The other project is Daylight Village. Basically, kind of the same scenario, upgrading the plumbing and the electrical, new roofs on all the 8 units, and then the electrical and plumbing repairs as well. Some of these are going to be hard, for, especially for our new commissioners, where we name our buildings, and I understand that'll be kind of hard to understand, so hopefully you can at least get a visual of the pictures. But the other one that serves as housing is the Bobie House in the Kitson and Kissling residences. And basically, we're just going to be restructuring the new roof and then the base deferred maintenance that needs to be done on those. So that was what the executive committee is ranked as the top project. Moving on is the Methodist Church. Please remember that we were awarded Saving America's Treasures grant from the Department of Interior. So we have a matching grant there. This is kind of breaks it down what's going to be the architectural costs, roof replacements, flooring, and then the power and plumbing upgrades. So we've earmarked $200,000. We're going to be matched by $200,000 with that. That'll serve as a convention center, interpretive center down the road for our weddings, social gatherings, and family reunions. The other one is in regards to the Belle of Hay Saloon and the Wells Fargo restaurant. We kind of took a pretty big beating from the Department of Revenue as far as upgrading our facilities to be in line with ADA requirements, you know, basic structures to have a catering license. For example, the Belle of Hay Saloon, you know, we got these doors that connect to the Opera House, and we have these patios. Those need to be revamped and new floor plans to be able to have catering licenses. So people can have alcohol when they go to the Opera House. People can have alcohol when they go outside on the patio. The ADA accessibility, we're not meeting any of the requirements on those. So we definitely needed to make those so everyone can come visit and be safe to the public on it. So for the most part, it's basically plumbing maintenance, upgrades, construction on the entrance and the boardwalks for ADA, and then some basic electrical upgrades. They, for the most part, most of these buildings are, you know, 70, 80 years plus as far as the electrical upgrades. So so we want to eliminate our fire hazard on that. So those are the Belle of Hay and Wells Fargo. The other ones that I kind of want to point out is the Nevada City Fire Pump, and basically the Story Park. The Nevada City Fire Pump, we got a grant from Risk Management. So we've already inputted close to $150,000 in the new pump house. So the bulk of this cost for the fire pump is for Northwestern Energy to get three-phase power put into that structure that we've already made. And then obviously there's always going to be some construction and plumbing upgrades once that's finalized. And then so that would be the power installation for the Nevada City Fire Pump and Discovery Park. And those would be going to Northwestern Energy. The last one on the list was the Nevada City Museum. Again, these are mostly for the restaurants that we're way out of compliance on. So definitely it's most of that's going to go to the electrical and lighting repairs and upgrades at the museum, the Star Bakery restaurant, and then the Nevada City Hotel. So that's where those will kind of be earmarked towards. So again, this is what the recommendation of the executive committee has. So I do want to thank Amy. She's kind of, I guess, prettied this up for the budget office that we could present to them. Please note that we do have a deadline of October 1st to make that happen. So I'll leave that open. And if Amy, if you want to chime in on anything you want to comment on, yes, go for it.
No, I'm available for any questions you guys may have about the restrictions on the use of these funds or anything in that letter.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or discussions or questions about how the executive committee arrived at and identified these projects? I think for executive board members, we kind of hash these out at length, but for our other commissioners, if you have questions about how these were arrived at, please go ahead.
Hey, this is Pam. I'm just, if you would just describe sort of your process of how you prioritize these, I'd be curious to know. I don't have concerns. I'm just curious how you know, what factors you looked at in prioritizing these particular projects.
Yeah. I think for the most part, Pam, obviously the main concern is really looking at a balanced approach to where can we get a return on investment on projects? Are we actually preserving buildings that are, you know, historic in nature to Montana? And then obviously liability issues. You always try to, every time we go through this, those are usually the three venues that we try to hit. You know, you're always going to have, you know, preservation people that want all the money to go to preserving the building, and maybe they have objections on people utilizing it with the concessionaire and stuff. So, but the Montana State Legislature, they're going to want some return on investment. They're going to see, you know, this is Montana's number one state-owned tourist attraction. Are we making it safe to the public? Are we being fair to the concessionaires, picking up their needs? So I think this is probably a very balanced approach. You know, covering all the venues with revenue. We got some preservation projects that are on the national register. We're fulfilling the needs of seasonal housing, which has been a major problem for 50 plus years. And then I think we're addressing safety concerns with electrical upgrades and upgrading so we can actually put a fire. Yeah. Currently, we don't have a fire suppression system in Nevada City. You know, so we have 119 buildings that we have protection. So again, I think it's more of a balanced approach. So, Marilyn, do you want to add to that?
No, I think Elijah pretty well covered what the thinking was and how this list was put together. Obviously, if we had 10 times more money, we certainly could do 10 times more projects. But this is what the committee determined would be our priorities for the use of this money.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. Oh, go ahead.
This is Virginia Court.
Yes.
I approve of your list very much. I guess my question is, I know you said, the Opera House and the Virginia City Players cabins are kind of number one priority. Looking at your estimates, I think some of them are, the roof, the six cabins roofing for $30,000. What happens if you run over, just in that first, instead of $90,000 for new construction of the bathhouse, it costs $120,000. How are you going to adjust changes?
That's why you have to have. Sorry, go ahead. To answer that, Virginia, I've learned kind of by trial and error that it's essential to have hard bids, which means they have to honor it. Where I've always put, you know, a 10-20% flush, because I know that when you deal with preservation projects, they're not the same as a new construction. If you're running into problems, the flooring is rotted. So we try to always have a safety mechanism in there to have that. But every one of these do have hard bids on it, so they have to honor that.
Okay.
So.
Oh, good. I
it's never going to be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that. I wasn't sure that you'd have the hard bids on it. So.
There's always going to be some exceptions when it's just an unforeseen circumstance, and I think we need to be reasonable. But when those arise, that's when I'll bring it back to the board to either reapprove or reallocate. So, but I think for the most part, I think we're going to stick to this pretty tight, especially with it being bonding money. I have to be very careful on making sure that it's, each project is definitely has an org, and they're going to be tracking that pretty closely. So.
This is Paul. I'm new to them, to the group. I have a question about how, once you've identified a building that has some work to be done and you've put it on a priority, for instance, the museum, Nevada City Museum, how do you determine what it is that you're going to be doing? In other words, who's going in and say, well, we really need the lighting or we need plumbing or whatever. And how is that accomplished?
It's a balance. As far as the wiring in Nevada City Museum, risk management has a little testing unit to see how old the wiring is. So they did it's really useful to see where's the broken wires, in Nevada City Hotel and Museum, that's the one that tested the highest. You know, we could easily, all of the buildings need repair, but that's the one that was the biggest fire concern. You know, and we had the same scenario with Reader's Alley. So it actually avoided what could have been a strong fire hazard.
I understand.
If you're interested, I can send it to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk to you separately on that. It's just me trying to get an idea of how the whole system is operating here. That's all.
Paul, this is Marilyn Ross. We do have preservation and maintenance guys that have been with Virginia City since the very beginning. And so they probably know each one of these buildings better than anybody else on the planet. So anytime there's anything going on with any of the buildings, we have Donnie Steely and Jeff Cleverly, our two preservation guys. They're always involved in it from the very start. So,
okay, well that pretty well answers. You've got separate people at a separate group that is evaluating these buildings as you identify them.
Sure. Yes, we do have the preservation crew.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
Okay.
This is Philip. This is Philip. I was just going to say that with the buildings that are individually that are contributing buildings to the National Historic Landmark, the State Historic Preservation Office, Pete Brown looks over all of the plans that we have, and he's our sort of preservationist offsite. But they've been very good partners with us, and we're pretty careful to make sure that we apply the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation of historic buildings. I just want to say, in terms of priorities, normally I would be, you know, let's save all the buildings we can. Prioritize the historic buildings first, but in this case, it seemed like we really need to be able to house the people who work there, who tell the story of Virginia City and Nevada City, and you know, their housing has been substandard for, as Elijah was saying, for 70 years, and so putting them at the top initially was not my first thing to support, but I certainly do support it.
I have to agree with that.
Okay. I do as well. Can I ask one other question? This is Pam. How do you, Elijah and Marilyn, how do you guys tell, how do you publish or how do people in the town find out what the priorities are? Do you do anything? And I ask because people are going to ask me. And so I want to be prepared.
Well, Pam, there's always going to be a case. I mean, we have 276 buildings, and there's always going to have, you know, someone from the public, one building's going to be more important to them than the other.
Yeah.
To me, it's always going to have a balanced approach, and that's what I like about this allocation. We have four of these are on the National Register, and then we have, you know, fire suppression services that are going to protect 119 buildings. But as far as public disclosure, I think once this is approved by the board, this will be announced in the, you know, the town council meeting, and then we will make it a public document. So it's okay. Definitely.
That was my question. And I think how you presented this, so I mean, I am happy to respond to anyone. I mean, I know enough about there that I know there'll be people that complain, but I think it's a great presentation. I was just curious how you let the town know what you decided. So.
Yeah. And they've weighed in as well. So it's definitely, you know, this is a big picture. A lot of people have put their opinion in. Just keep in mind, this is a small bite of a big elephant. So.
Right. Right.
We're gonna continue on and work with that. So, but I think these are gonna fulfill a big need.
That's great. Are there
any further comments or questions from the commission?
This is Virginia again.
Yes.
I mean, I've been reassured that you've had the bids. Do you mention that in this letter to Mr. Levers? I haven't noted that, which I would think that might be something important that they would know that you did have bids on these projects and they're going to be completed with the monies allocated.
So we do have an itemized list and we could probably input that. So I think that's something we can maybe look at.
That would have been my question then.
And I'm not 100% sure how in the grasp the budget office wants to get, but I can definitely provide those upon request. At least the bigger ones we can utilize. So some of these are going to be basically supply expenses that our preservation crew that can accomplish. Because normally it's, you know, for the most part, a new roof is at a minimum $10,000, but the preservation crew is going to knock out Daylight Village and, you know, the Opera House cabins. So those figures are mostly on supply end versus, you know, what it would cost to contract it out. So the bigger projects, the new construction, definitely you got to have a hard bid or else it's going to come in double what they estimated. So, but those are all available upon the budget office's request.
Okay.
Any further questions? If there are none, I will entertain a motion that the full commission approve the action of the executive committee on assigning priorities for the HB 652 funding.
So moved. This is Pam.
Okay.
This is Bruce. Second.
Check it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. I will ask Bonnie, please, to do a roll call to establish the vote. Bonnie?
Chair Ross? Virginia?
Yes.
Bill Howell?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Pam?
Yes.
Bruce?
Yes.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Is there anybody else on the line that came in?
I'm here, Tim Lehman.
Tim, thanks for coming on.
I've been listening all along.
We heard you come in. Is your vote yes?
Okay. I vote yes. And with just one quick comment, if I may, I think the cabins where workers and players have lived for decades is a historic site, right? So this fits perfectly with the historic preservation mission, I think.
All right, Chair Ross?
Yes.
We have nine yeses.
Okay. And hearing no votes, the motion carries. The next, we have another place here for public comment. Again, I'll ask if there's any member of the public on the call that would like to make a comment. Okay. Hearing none, first I would like to thank Amy and Marty and Bonnie and our friends at Commerce for their help in winding our way through this process with HB 652. Thanks so much to all of you for your help on that. And if there is no further business for this call, I will declare the special meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Hey.